God presents himself to Moses with these words, the Lord, or that is Yahweh, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. And he goes on to give them his law, and his law is a revelation of his character. His law is a gift of love to his people because he knows that in the keeping of his law, there will be blessing, there will be joy. It's not some tyrant God who's saying, now, these are the rules, you better obey them. But he's rather saying, here's life. If you'll just obey my word, my commands, you'll know the joy and the blessing that comes with that. Later, when we come into the New Testament scripture and that God continues to reveal himself through his word, we discover that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when Jesus tells his disciples that they are at the end of the book of Matthew to go into all the world and make disciples, he tells them that they are to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not the names, plural, but the name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're Trinitarian. We believe that there is one God who is in the three persons of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, there's a mystery in that. Nobody can fully explain that. But the Trinity is God's way of being God. He's always been Trinity from eternity past on into eternity future. There'll never be a time when God is anything other than Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we're not tritheists. We don't believe in three gods. Nor are we Unitarians who only believe that God is just one, but rather we're Trinitarians. We believe that there's one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not sequentially, as some groups taught, erroneously teach, that back in the Old Testament he appeared as Father, and then he sort of morphs into the Son, and we meet him as the Son in the New Testament scriptures, and then he morphs again and becomes the Holy Spirit in the day in which we live. No, he has always been and always will be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. It's that God who is the Creator and the Redeemer that Peter says we are led to through the work of the cross, through the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, the righteous for the unrighteous, in that once-for-all sacrifice to bring us to God, to lead us to God, to bring us into a relationship that sin is broken. And there's no way that we can get to God apart from Christ. That's why Jesus says, I'm the way. There's no way to the Father but through me. Christ is God's gracious gift, the door through which he opens the way to salvation and says, whosoever will may come. And we want to grumble about that. We say, well, we think there should be other ways. But the fact of the matter is God in his grace has provided the way, and his name is Jesus. Some of you will remember that in some of the evangelistic tools, the little brochures or pamphlets that are made sometimes to explain the plan of salvation to people, that there is often a diagram of kind of this cliff over here, and we're standing on the cliff, and then there's another cliff over here, and God is over there, and there's this bottomless chasm between, and there's no way across. There's no way for us who are sinners to get over there where God is because he's holy. But as you explain the plan of salvation, God's great plan of salvation using that imagery, you get to tell people, but Jesus is the bridge across that chasm. He's the one who says, I am the way. Now, the reality is that our sin separates us from God. Isaiah says to the people of God in Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you. Paul says we were dead in our trespasses and sin. We were. That's why one of the great old hymns of the church called the hymn called Rock of Ages, one of the verses begins with this statement, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. There's nothing that I can bring that kind of sweetens the deal for me, that says, God, look, I know I haven't been perfect, but I've got this, you know, I've got this talent, I've got this education, I look at my church attendance, has been really good. I've given a lot in the offering. You know, I've done this and that, and but no, nothing in our hands we bring. There isn't a single thing that we can add to what Christ has already done. We have nothing. We have no ability ourselves to get across that chasm. Because sin has separated us from a holy and righteous God. But Christ died. 1 Peter 3:18. Christ died for our sins once for all. The righteous for the unrighteous. John the Baptist sees Jesus coming and looks at him and says, look, the Lamb of God who takes upon himself the sin of the world. And Jesus is that once for all sacrifice that every lamb in the Old Testament had pictured prophetically has now been, that's all been fulfilled in Christ. The righteous one who dies for the unrighteous ones, us, to bring us to God. And thus we can sing, dressed in thy righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne, because it's not our work, it's not our righteousness, it's through the cross and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. Now you know that. That may not be news. That may not be a new thought to anybody in this room. Probably most of us have heard that story since our childhood. It's not new information. But as we come to the table of the Lord this morning, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. It's not a memorial thing for somebody who once lived and now they're dead and gone. But rather, it's a remembering of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, the one who is risen from the dead, who is ascended in glory. By the way, later this week is the Ascension Day. You know, when you mark it from Easter and the resurrection, and then for 40 days, Jesus was here among us, and then at the end of those 40 days, he ascends back to be at the right hand of the God the Father. So this table is not a memorial where we all get together and remember somebody who used to live, but rather it's a remembering of the cross, the blood, the price that was paid when the righteous one took on our unrighteousness so that he can now clothe us in his righteousness. And this great exchange is made. And the victory over that is secured by the resurrection from the dead. And Christ is ascended and returned to his glory at the right hand of the Father. And the Word of God tells us that one day he's coming back again. He's gone to prepare a place for us so that we can be where he is forever, for all of eternity. And when we come to the table of the Lord, it's just really a good opportunity for us to remember what we already know. And then to kind of renew our vows. To say, Lord, it's because of what you did that you restored me to a fellowship and a life with God which sin had broken. And if the cross restores us to fellowship with God, brings us from death to life, then this morning, as we come to the table, we just need to ask our own heart the question, so, how is that fellowship with God? If Jesus died to bring me to God, if that was his purpose for dying, he died for me so that he could bring me to God. He is the way. He's the way to the Father. There's no one who can come in any other way but through him. If he did that for me to restore me to fellowship with God, then what's kind of the status of that fellowship, that relationship with God this morning? Right now. And as we meet the Lord here at his table, it would be good for us to be reminded of the call of God upon our lives to come and follow Jesus. And in following Jesus, find ourselves in living fellowship with a living God day by day. It's not a once-a-week fellowship that happens on Sunday mornings, but it's a life of being in fellowship and communion with God. And so as we come to the table, we need to renew that. Now this morning at the 8:30 service, I spoke on both of those verses, and I discovered it got a little muddy, so let me just stop there. We'll just stop with that one verse. 1 Peter 3:18. He died to bring us to God. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never accepted his invitation and even been brought to God. You still have no real relationship with God. And I have no idea what brought you here this morning in terms of your schedule or who you were coming for, but I believe the Spirit of God brought you here because he wants you to know this truth. That Jesus died to bring you to God. The righteous one, Christ, died for you and me, the unrighteous ones, to bring us to God, to restore us to relationship with the living God. And as we repent of our sin and put our faith in Christ and in the work that we celebrate here at the table of the Lord, his cross, we discover what it is to come home into his presence, into this relationship that he had intended for us all along, and that there's a new life that's born. Earlier in the scripture reading that was read from chapter 1, as Dan read it early in the service, and Peter just praises the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy has given us new birth to a living hope. That's good news. That's good news. I'm going to invite you to bow with me in prayer, and I'm going to ask those who will be serving us communion if they will come right now, and any of our musicians who need to come as well, just come if you would. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the joy that is ours because of Jesus. This is not some kind of a religious obligation that we have to fulfill, but this is just the joy of being reminded of the cross, the way that you brought us to God. So, Lord, meet us here. Pray, Lord, that here we will just renew our vows to you. We'll say again, Lord, I'm yours. You bought me with your blood. I belong to you. I want to be in fellowship with you. I want to know what it is to hear your voice. I want to know what it is to have your Holy Spirit dwelling within me. So, Lord, I pray that this morning at this table there will be just be a new infusion of life, of the life of God, the life of the Spirit. Meet us here, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.